The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And from the epistle for this day, the first chapter of St. James, verse 26, and from chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. This last Sunday of the Easter season is sometimes called Prayer Sunday, because in the Gospel, which from ancient times has been read on this day, our Lord teaches his disciples about prayer in his name. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now these words of Jesus can very easily be misunderstood, as if the mere mention of the name of Jesus in prayer guarantees that whatever we are praying for will certainly be given us, as if the utterance of Jesus' name is some kind of magical formula bending God to our will. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. It was St. Augustine who said that to pray in the name of Jesus doesn't just mean the vocalization of letters and syllables, but rather means to pray with the mind of Jesus, seeking those things that Jesus would have us seek. And praying in the consciousness that though we are worthy of none of the things for which we pray, neither have we deserved them, but through our baptism into Christ we've been clothed with the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, and that the Heavenly Father therefore sees us not as we are in our sinfulness, but as those who through faith in Jesus are his dearly loved, forgiven children. And when we pray in that way, with the mind of Jesus, and as those who are God's beloved children through him, our prayers will assuredly be answered, not necessarily in the way we imagine or expect, but in conformity with the will of the Savior who loves us and therefore wants our genuine, true, and eternal good. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, each one of us has his own particular needs and concerns and worries and perplexities for which we ask God's help in prayer. You know yours, and I know mine. But because of what St. James has to say in the epistle we heard this morning, I want to say that there is a prayer that should constantly be in our mind and on our lips, a prayer that's found in the 141st Psalm. The prayer is this: set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. We all need to keep praying that prayer, because St. James not only says, if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless. St. James then goes on to say this: the tongue is a fire, a little member of the body, and boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. An unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, set on fire by hell, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this ought not so to be. Unless we're deluded, unless we're blind to the condition of our hearts and the words of our mouth, these words of St. James can only be a powerful call to repentance, a light shining on the darkness of our darkened hearts and lips. No wonder the psalmist prayed as he did: set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips, because the tongue is a fire. Everybody knows about the terrible and sometimes irreparable damage done by careless use of the tongue, by the misuse of our Maker's gift of the power of speech, how that gift is abused. Everybody surely knows, often by painful experience, the devastating effects of thoughtless, careless speech, to say nothing of cruelty. How we wound others and sow seeds that grow and blossom in contention and rancor and bitterness. Yes, the tongue is a fire. But there is another kind of fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit's love, the Holy Spirit who revealed his presence by tongues of fire, which hovered over the disciples gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, that great festival, which we'll celebrate again just 2 weeks from today. The fire of the Holy Spirit's love, who shows us Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. No wonder Paul Gerhardt prays in his great Pentecost hymn, "All love is thine, O Spirit. Thou hatest enmity. Thou lovest peace and friendship. All strife wouldst have us flee. Where wrath and discord reign, thy whisper kindly pleadeth, and to the heart that heedeth brings love and light again." No wonder the church has prayed from time immemorial, "Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.